At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command Podcast. Craig Hoffman here, Logan Paulson there, and Dane Brugler going to be with us in just a little bit. Dane and The Athletic have published The Beast yet again. It is an interactive site this year, which is very, very cool, very easy to navigate. I will say it feels a little less nerdy, Logan, the nice interactive, pretty site. Last year, it's like, oh yeah, I'm grinding through this PDF that's a black and white document that should be probably printed out in like a binder. But that's all right. It's still amazing, and it's actually more user-friendly. And it's available this year to everybody, Logan, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I know. That's one thing about it. It's like, you know, every year with when The Beast comes out, I'm always trying to find a way to get around the paywall, you know, like looking for documents and stuff. But it's because what he does in that thing is really, it's unbelievable. He's got pro day information. He's got pronunciation guides. Like, there's not going to be a more comprehensive pre-draft document. Again, like, the rankings by position are all subjective. They're all him. But, like, the information in there is really tremendous. So,
and it's so nice to have it all in one place. We're just like, here's all the testing data, all that kind of stuff. And last year we went a little bit in with Dane on how he does some of that. So you can definitely go back to that. And I'm sure he'll talk about it in other places. When Dane joins us in about 20, 25 minutes here, we will just get straight into prospects with him and draft stuff. So we're going to try to maximize. We only have about 20 minutes with Dane, so we're going to try to maximize that time on the football, less so on the process this year. Although it is worth checking out other interviews he's done, including with us last year, on how that thing comes together. Speaking of how things come together, Logan, you have been working on your big board, and you signed on to the StreamYard here this morning, and you just go, dude, this thing's a beast to put together. No pun intended on the beast. A beast for Logan. Why is putting together your big board so much harder this year than it has been in years past? What is it about this class?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting. Like, last year felt like it's probably spoiled me a little bit. Last year's the first one I did one like in earnest. Like, I've done them before, but it's always been a little bit like, I'll use someone else's rankings and, you know, kind of parse those together or use something like The Beast to kind of help me kind of guide the process. And this year I'm kind of doing it. Or last year was the first year I did it in earnest.
You're baking from scratch as opposed to a starter kit.
Correct. Yeah. And so last year I felt like it was, I don't say obvious, but it was very clear. It's like, these players are good. Like, these guys are like worthy of a, like, you know, top five, top 10, top 15 pick. And it just kind of fell really nicely. And there was some subjectivity to it, like, you know, Latu versus Jared Verse or whatever, but like they were both going to be good. You know what I mean? It just depends on how good and what system and all that kind of stuff. This year, it just feels like there's way more questions about the prospects, way more uncertainty. And like, for me, uncertainty tends to drive people down boards. You know what I mean? So like, in this year's class, like, we were just talking about the edge rushers. Like, I look at the edge rusher and there's one guy, Abdul Carter, who to me is definitively the best, maybe the best player in the draft. Like, he's like top three for sure for me. But then after that, it's like, you know, the difference between Mike Green right now is my second guy. But again, I don't have any off-field information about him. But like, the difference between Mike Green, Donovan Azuraku, Nick Scorton, Sherman from Texas A&M.
Shamar Stewart,
right? Like James Pierce, like it's very, very small. Like it's almost to Landon Jackson before there's like a definitive difference. Like I really like Mike Green. He might be in his own tier. But again, then there's that off-field stuff. So like, and then I kind of was like going through and I was like, if I was tiering this last year, like where would all these guys go? And to me, it's like, oh, they'd be in this like 20 to like 45 type range, you know, like even Shamar Stewart, who I love. I love the athlete. I love the physicality. Just not overly productive. There's not over like a ton of polish there. So like, I like the player, but again, is he worth a top 10 pick? Like probably not, you know. Walker from Georgia is another guy that I find really interesting because he's like this off ball linebacker hybrid. And I know there are people that absolutely love him, but I'm like, he's not great at off ball linebacker. He's not big enough to play true edge. He's got good pass rush juice, but there's risk there. We talked about that with Jeremy Green. Like, so yeah. You're like, that's going to push down. And then I'm like, well, there's other positions that should fill that up, right? That's how it should go. Like, if
right.
there's
in theory, yes. But not this year necessarily. And so all of a sudden in every single mock draft, Jalen Walker is being mocked eighth to Carolina.
Yeah.
And it's like, how is a dude with this many questions the unanimous eighth pick in the draft?
Yeah. And again, like just to be clear, like he's a good football player. But yeah. And if he went to Washington at 29, I'd be like, damn, like good for us. You know right. what I mean?
But also you wouldn't be based off the talent, you wouldn't be like, this is totally ridiculous that he fell.
Right. That's exactly right. It's the same. It's exactly right. And then you talk about like, it's the same thing with the safeties. Like I love Malachi Starks. Like he, to me, should be a top 10 pick, but I see some people mocking him at 30 or 28 and you're just like, okay, like he's a good football player. Wasn't overly productive, but like he's one of the better football players in this class. And then Nick Amon-Worry is another interesting one because there's such a projection. Like I think the PFF guy said it the best yesterday, like physically he's got everything you want, but like, is he a true like box safety, you know, cause he's not a great tackler. He's not overly physical. There are games where he flashes, right? Big explosive athletic stuff, but the consistency is not there. So it becomes more of a projection. And like, I think I've said this before on this show, like the higher a prospect goes, the more certain I am about the prospect, right? Like that's right. Ultimately what it boils down to. So when it kind of all shook out, like I just finished my first tier of guys. I think I had six guys that were like tier one ish type players. And even that I'm like pushing guys in there because people got to get drafted. You know, that was the other weird thing about it. It's like, you know, some people say, oh, I don't put second tier guys in my mock or my big board. Great. You know, but people have to get drafted there. They have to. So like, where yeah. do you put them? Like, do you just say, oh, there's no tier two guys. I'm not drafting anyone between 10 and 25. Like, no, that's ridiculous. Like you got to draft somebody there. So like I fill mine in is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, so guys wind up moving up. And maybe that's that type of thing where you elevate based off of your need. It's like, well, this is the next best player on the board, and this is the position that we go. The other thing that's weird, I think, about this class, and especially if you contrast it with last year, is the quarterback class is just not good.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, Cam Ward, I would say.
Cam Ward's a good player. Yeah. Yeah, but like he's the fourth or fifth. Now, again, last year's quarterback class is insane, but he's the fourth or fifth guy off last year.
Yeah.
Like, where do you have him relative to Penix and Nix?
So, yeah, I guess to me, he would have been slightly ahead of them. Like, he's in that group, like that cluster of guys. You know what I mean? Because it's like.
So he's below Williams, May, Daniels.
I was big on JJ McCarthy. So yeah. JJ McCarthy was in that first group for me. So he's like, you know, 5, 6, 7, however you want to slot them. I personally like him a little bit better than Penix. I felt like Penix was a little bit robotic. I felt like Bo Nix was a little bit of a check down Charlie. I fell in love with Cam Ward's like playmaking ability. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, but there are guys that are going to say, well, that Logan, that's insane. He's definitely after Bo Nix. Like that's where the subjectivity of that second tier of quarterbacks, like, become, you know, when you're comparing it to last year, becomes a thing, you know. So that's what I'd say is I like him a lot. I like him a lot more the more I watch him. I think he does some really special stuff. And we were talking about this off air a little bit too. Like there's certain players you like their background. And I like the fact that he started at a small school. He wasn't highly recruited and he just had to grind and work and learn new offenses because it shows me a passion and support of the game. And I think we're going to talk to Dane about that a little bit with some other guys, but I really appreciate that, especially after seeing what Jaden Daniels was last year, especially after seeing what Bo Nix was last year, like these guys that had to face adversity, like they can handle some of the stresses of playing the position at the NFL level. And I'm not saying he's going to be amazing, but I do think there is the potential that he's a top, you know, like 12 guy in the league at some point in his career. And I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, Cam, legit. I got Dane's quarterback list up, first round grade, right?
Yeah.
Shador's the second guy. He's got a first, second grade on him.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart, second. Who, by the way, I saw, talk about guys getting pushed up positionally. I saw Todd McShay and his mock 3.0 has Dart going second off the board, quarterback wise, 9 to the Saints, because he thinks this guy more resembles what Kellen Moore has worked with in the past. And maybe that's the direction they go if they go quarterback. By the same token, if I'm the Saints, I'm like, I don't know. I'd probably just rather trade back into the 20s and take him there because he's probably going to be available. So, but it just shows that, like, the idea that Jackson Dart could go top 10 based off of the tape and based off of, you know, the evaluation feels crazy. But he's in the right draft if he wants that to happen for himself. And then this year, quarterback 6 last year was Bo Nix, and he went 12th overall, I think. Quinn Ewers is quarterback 6 this year. He might not come off the board until the 3rd or 4th round.
Yeah. I mean, I right now I'm not super high on Quinton Ewers, like probably 5th, 6th is feels. Yeah. Again, like 4th, 5th, 6th, it's all kind of in the wash, but I think it speaks to your point. Like, who, like there's like 4 guys that I think maybe could do it, 5, you know, like the kid from Syracuse, I can't remember his name at the moment.
Kyle McCord, baby. Let's go.
Kyle McCord. I think he's got a shot at being a high end backup somewhere. Tyler Shuck, just from the physicality, but he's 26 years old. Like, he's 26 years old. Like, what are we doing here? And then it's Dart and then Shador and Cam Ward, obviously. So that's kind of my,
by the way, on the quarterback class, Jalen Milrow is an ultimate wild card because athletically that dude is a freak.
Yeah. And when I did my initial quarterback ranking on the Ticket to the Draft show, he was my 5th guy over Kyle McCord. And I think the athletic upside is tremendous, but then I kind of was talking to Jeremy Green. I was talking to my producer about it, and I was just like, I don't know if he's ever going to get the opportunity to actualize any of these athletic traits. You know, like, he's a freak, right? But like, he's going to be a backup quarterback. Like, how many reps is he going to get? How studious is he going to be? Is he going to develop the way, you know, Josh Allen did? And Josh Allen developed because he got a ton of reps, you know? And I think that's where it's, to me, it's really challenging to, with this quarterback class. And, you know, even with like Jackson Dart, man, like, it's a huge projection. Same thing with Shador. Like those guys are more similar than I think people want to admit, but it goes back to the original point of like putting this big board together. Like, the quarterbacks are all over the place, right? There's not a great, it's not a great offensive skill class either. The offensive line is kind of middle of the road this year. I think there are some really good, like, I think, you know, Armand Membu, I think Will Campbell are going to be kind of special. Like, they're like first tier type players to me, even though there's some questions about the arm length, about the experience. Like physically, like, when you watch the tape, you're just like, man, these guys are so good. Like, they're so good. Their floor is so high. Like, why not just bet on them? But after that, you're kind of like, you know, Josh Simmons coming off the knee. You've got Connerly, who I really like, but again, is a little, got some growings physically to do. You know, Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. I played left tackle. I think he's a safe projection at guard, but again, like, end of the first round. And so, like, you lose all of, like, the middle meat of a good first round. And I think that's one of the things, like, I was doing a show with Fred Davis, and he was like, I want, instead of one first round pick, I want 2 second round picks this year. I just think that's where the value is. And that's kind of what this process is showing me. Like, I was doing edges like the other day and trying to rank them in my horizontal board. And I was like, these guys, I'd like to pick all of them between 20 and 45. Like, that's it. And so, again, like, that's not going to happen. Someone's going to get bumped up the board, but I think it speaks generally to, like, the assuredness, the confidence I have in the players. I think they're all good. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, none of them are like these surefire top 10 guys. You're like, yes, this is it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
I feel like we talked about this a little bit last week or at some point, I don't remember which show, but like, let's clarify the difference in like, what's a top 15 guy versus a 20 to 40 guy? Like, is it just the sureness that he's going to be good? Is it the upside? Is it like the potential to be great? And I guess it could be really all of those things. It's like, which one do you have? If you have, if I like 100% know you're going to be a good football player, okay, great. If my now at 85%, well, that's going to drop you down. If your upside is Pro Bowler, all pro, like that's going to bump you up. If I think, like you're probably going to be a starter I'm comfortable with for 5 years, that's going to bump you down compared to the all pro guy. Is that really kind of the basis of it?
Yeah, I think it's definitely. So to me, it comes down to confidence, right? Like what's the confidence that you are going to be a serviceable starter in the NFL? Like that's like baseline to me for like a top 15 pick, right? And obviously you want guys that have a ceiling, right? So like to me, the top 15 like designation is like, hey, here is the floor. It's very high. I think Joe Alt is maybe the best example I can think of in recent history of this. Like his floor was like sky high. He was going to be like a starting caliber, you know, like left tackle in the NFL. But after watching him through his rookie year, like it's like he could be a Pro Bowler, right? Like that's kind of the ceiling for him now after seeing him kind of execute that. And I think that's what like when you look at Will Campbell and Membu, it's like, they're very, very good. Their floors are very, very high. But they also have the ability, you know, if they kind of work at it and develop a little bit, develop the way you would think based on their physical tools, that they could potentially be kind of, you know, Pro Bowl type guys, guys that you can build your franchise around. And again, they're not that right now, but they can develop into that. Then you move down the list and like Connerly, I think is a really good point of comparison in this year's class. Like athletically, it's there, but the floor is a little bit lower, like the bust rate's a little bit higher. And the ceiling is maybe close, but not quite as high. And I think that's where the distinction comes in. Like Shamar Stewart is another interesting example. Like physically, yes, the ceiling is tremendous, but the floor and the bust rate are very, very high because of the lack of production. And I think he'll be a good player because he's so good against the run. But it's like, are you ever going to actualize like that 10 sack a year type guy? Are you ever going to get your Aiden Hutchinson out of him? People would say yes, but like I'm saying, that's more of a risk than you want to admit, I think. And so that's where, again, some of that uncertainty levels out. Like, so like, just to give you an example, like my top seven guys are like Cam Ward, because I'm pretty confident he's going to be a good football player, like in that first tier of player. Yeah. Cam Ward, Ashton Jeanty, Colston Loveland, Membu, Will Johnson, Malachi Starks, and Derek Harmon from Oregon, the defensive tackle. Like, that's my first group of guys, right? And so everyone's like, well, no Mason Graham. And I think Mason Graham's really good, but he's got short arms. Is he ever going to be an elite pass rusher in the NFL? He was never that in college. And when you look at the guys who are making a lot of money in the NFL right now, it's guys that rush the passer. Yeah. So like, that's where it's like, yeah, his floor is high, but where's his ceiling? And so that's where a guy like Derek Harmon from Oregon, I think, jumps him because his floor is high and his ceiling's high. And that's how I feel about that entire group. Like, you know, people like know Tetro McMillan. Like, I think Tetro McMillan, I like watching him. He's my number one receiver. But like, there's questions to me about his consistent work ethic, like on the field. Like he takes reps off. Like, can he consistently separate? I love how he catches the
football. And then the comments come out that he's like, yeah, I don't really love watching football. And you're like, oh, that probably matters. That probably matters less if I don't see that on the field sometimes.
Right. Right. And so that's where it's like, those are questions, right? And it's like, are you ever going to be a true X? If you're like, you could be a good pro, but are you going to be a true X? So if I'm taking that top 15 guy, the guys that I listed out are guys that I think have high ceilings and high floors. And everybody else is a little bit like, you know, who else I'd probably think about putting in there is Mike Green. Mike Green could potentially make it in that group. But again, the off-field stuff to me, I don't know it, so I can't speak to it. So that adds a level of uncertainty that makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, and so the off-field stuff with Green is there's multiple sexual assault allegations against him.
Virginia, right?
Yeah, well, there's one in high school, and then there was another one at University of Virginia that never fully got investigated because he left. And you know, he says that, you know, nothing happened, you know, so he denies the allegations, the accusations. But there's obviously a lot of teams really concerned about it, especially because it's multiple. And like, you have teams, I really appreciated Howie Roseman saying this on McShay's podcast back at the combine. He was like, if there's violence against women, like, I don't even watch the tape. Like, I don't, you know, like, we have a hard rule that, like, if that's in your profile, then that's a no-go for us. And that prevents you from having the conflicted feelings that you might have if you watch the tape and you're like, oh my God, but this guy could be like, you know, you just said you have him in your first tier of guys as a player.
Based on the film, yeah.
Because it's film based. And, you know, Howie Roseman, let's say, like, and I'm sure the Eagles are going to look at, they're not just going to take the news reports or whatever at face value. They're going to do their homework. So I'm not meaning to push in one direction or the other. But if they determine, like, yeah, something happened here, they're not even going to let their scouts, like, get into it. Howie's not going to ever get into it. That guy's literally not an option for them. And
that's crazy. I think that's smart, though.
I appreciate that for sure, because
if it's legitimate, right? And I think that's right. Where you got to, like, right.
And,
figure
and again,
it out,
saying, but, like, if you do your homework and something is there and you just go, no, we don't do that here. Like, yeah. That is what having morals, values as an organization is. Like, if you're going to talk about it, it's saying that, like, man, we know, but, and some teams don't. The Chiefs don't. They don't care because they took Tyreek Hill and stood by Tyreek Hill. And now Tyreek Hill again on Monday is getting another domestic dispute. Dude's got 10 years worth of domestic violence issues. And he's still in the league because there's enough people in the league that don't care. And then you have teams like the Eagles that clearly will take a risk on a player, because here's the thing with Philly. Like, there are certain things they're like, no, this is, you know, how he said, like, that's a no-go for us. They were comfortable enough with whatever with Jalen Carter and the driving thing that happened at Georgia and whatever else was around Jalen Carter. And they think that, you know, hey, that's something that for whatever reason we can tolerate. So, like, I don't mean to say that as like a moral high ground here, there. I'm just saying each team is going to have their own rules, and there's going to be guys that rise or fall on draft night, both because of things that we don't know about. And that could be off the field or medical, or like, there's going to be GMs that interview guys and fall in love with them. They think, like, oh, I saw a speck in the Iowa game of talent, and I talked to that guy, and I can get the best. I know that we can get the best out of him. And it might work out, but also sometimes those wind up being just as big of mistakes as the guys that they screw up in the other direction.
Yeah, it was so interesting. I was talking to, like, a director of security for a different team when I was at the combine, and I was like, you know, so-and-so. And he wasn't giving me any specifics because he can't, but it was like the amount of information that they have. He kind of passingly was like, oh, there's this player X, right?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, in high school, he got this. And like, that was, and I was like, you went back and looked at his high school stuff? Yeah. And it's like, oh, he had this issue in college, but like, we've met him and we've talked to him about it, and it's fine. And I was just like, the level of detail that these teams go, like, that's where, like, this is such an unfair process, I think, for the media to do this, because the amount of information that these guys have medically, personality wise, like, work ethic wise from the coaches is just on a different level. You know, it's just on a completely different level. Like, they've met these guys, they know how they're wired, they know how they're going to fit in the building. And so, like, when you're like, that's another thing about, for me, putting together a big board, you said, oh, do I do it for the Commanders? And part of it's like, yes, but also, like, I don't know the guy. And I know that that's such an important part of their process, you know? And so to me, it's unfair. It's unfair to me even be like, oh, why didn't the Commanders take player X? Because I think he's really good. Like, they have infinitely more information than I do. And so that's another thing that makes this really hard. The Jeremy Green one, the James Pierce one, like, you know, the thing, even with Tetro McMillan, like, if you talk to him, because I heard that clip came out from when he was his sophomore year of college, right? So he's a different player now. Like, I'm sure he watches film now. Like, talking to his coach, understanding how he's wired and what his work ethic looks like, it's going to be different. And so I think that's another thing I respect about Dane and the Beast is he does do a lot of this scouting stuff. And that shows up in the Beast, which is great too.
Yeah, so. You get so much of the story, which is so critical to understanding the person and thus understanding the player. It's kind of funny that, you know, we do all this work and we feel like we know so much, and we do, you know, genuinely put in a ton of work. You put in an unbelievable amount of work for this, and you're still, you know, flying half blind based off what the teams are doing. And by the way, the teams still are bad at this, statistically speaking, because it's impossible to be great at it. There is every team, every great general manager, Howie Roseman, Adam Peters, on down the list, they all have their misses. And a lot of them, this is still, with all of that information, a giant crapshoot. And there's no better way to do it. This is the best we got.
So did I tell you, like, Fred and I had a bet last year where we picked five prospects, and then we were like, we compared them again this year, and we're going to air the result of the bet on the show.
Oh, but no,
we
got, that's
I just,
awesome.
I just saw the list of my guys, and I just was like, one of them, Ricky Pearsall, was shot before the season. And again, that's terrible. Can't account for that, but that affects his production in the year.
Yep.
Another offensive lineman who was never hurt his entire college career tore his rotator cuff in training camp and is out for the year, right? And then, like, you're just like, okay. And Fred had the same thing. Guys that he was really high on, very healthy. And then, like, so he ended up picking Brock Bowers, which is probably going to help him out long term here in terms of the point system.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember reading my report on Brock Bowers, and I was like, he needs to go to the right place to make this work for him. And he went to a place where the offense didn't have a lot of playmakers. He was the number one feature, got a ton of targets. And so
set records.
It's so layered in terms of risk reward, and you can mitigate risk as much as you want. But ultimately, football is a violent game that is so situation dependent. And that's another thing that makes this so challenging in terms of the big board.
No doubt about it. But with that said, you know, no one does it better than Dane. Dane Brugler joins us next here on Take Command.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.